Next week, we will present the new Texaco Star Theater Summer Show with music by Al Goodman, acting by Jimmy Wallington, and songs by Jane Bowman. Next week, we really have a...
Never mind next week. What about tonight? Oh.
Tonight, we bring you a man who will not be on next week's program. He's Fred Allen in person.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Mr. Wallington, I must say that that was some touching introduction for my last program you just gave off there. Next week, music by Al Goodman, acting by Jimmy Wallington.
Yes, it looks like a great show next week.
Next week, huh? And looking ahead, an optimist. Well, what about... let's retrogress. If you can you handle the word, or shall I break it up for you? What about, I'll probably find out it should be retrogress. Well, what about, which is it?
You will. Retrogress.
Retrogress, huh? Yeah. You'll have that next week. Now, there's
a good start for you
next week. Well, what about tonight?
Oh, who cares about tonight? I'm looking into the future.
Oh, you are?
Why, certainly. Wait till next week, brother. The new summer show is going to be all Wallington.
Well, if it's going to be all Wallington next week, Jimmy, I guess we've had... approximately enough Wallington for this week, don't you think? So I'll go ahead with the latest news of the week. The March of Trivia presents its weekly lowlight from the world of news. Broadway, New York. As June draws to a close, curtain falls on the worst theatrical season New York has experienced since 1923. Of the 66 shows produced on Broadway during the past season, only 12 were successful. Tonight, the March of Trivia interviews a batch of theatrical nobodies to get their reactions to the legitimate theater's problems. Now, first tonight, the producer who had the worst luck on Broadway this past year, he's Morton Chisel III. You had a bad season, Morton?
Well, I put on so many turkeys, the president could have 6 Thanksgivings, I still wouldn't break it.
What shows did you produce?
Well, I seen Foggy and Bess as a hit. So I says to myself, this is a year for revivals.
What play did you revive?
Gilbert and Sullivan's Mikado.
You did. What happened?
The next day, Japan declares war. I got a big sign outside the theater. It says Mikado.
No one came near the place?
Only 2,000 people. They tore the joint to pieces.
Well, I'm not surprised. I should have taught you a lesson.
Yeah, well, that's the way it went all season. I revived Gittin' Grady's Garden.
What happened?
The rubber shortage show. I had to turn Grady's Garter into the rubber dry.
Well, that closed the show, naturally.
I rehearsed The Merchant of Venice.
Well, what happened with that?
Shylock was hungry. He ate the pound of flesh at rehearsal. I couldn't open.
Well, as a theatrical producer, have you any advice to give to new producers interested in the theater, Mr. Chisel?
Only this.
Yes?
If a producer's got a shoestring, he shouldn't produce no play with it.
What then?
If the shoestring is long enough, he should hang himself.
Well, a theatrical producer gets it in the neck either way, and thank you, Morton Chisel. A lady who abandoned the abandoned Broadway years ago is Dodie Rochambeau. Will you bring in one of the portable receptions for the next actor, please, just to make sure? Will you, a lady who abandoned Broadway years... Wait till I give this little girl a piece of gum. Would you like a piece of gum? A lady who abandoned Broadway years ago is Dodie Rochambeau. You started, I believe, the first summer theater, Dodie?
Yes. I opened a barter playhouse in a barn in New Rochelle.
Oh, a barter theater. Well, how did your barter theater do?
The first week, we took in 700 tomatoes.
You did, really?
Not counting those thrown at the actors.
Oh, well, that was extra, wasn't it?
One summer,
that sounded like a joke left over from Mr. Chisel's routine. I think tomatoes would have saved the day, but all right.
One summer, I had the Winnie the Pooh players at NIAC.
Winnie the Pooh players, you did, really?
We played in an abandoned lunch wagon.
Well, what show did you do in the abandoned lunch wagon?
The man who came to dinner. Another summer, I had the Tinkerbell Troubadours at Cape May, New Jersey.
Oh, the Tinkerbell Troubadours. Were they in a theater?
No, we played a play.
In a brewery.
Last summer, we did all of these telephone booths in Red Bank.
Plays in a telephone booth?
You put a family on the party line and listen to the play.
Oh, I see.
At the end of the play, tunes and listens.
The actors listen for what?
Applause.
Oh, I see.
It was deafening. The audience at home applauding before their mouthpieces. The players with their headphones on, bowing and throwing kisses in the telephone booth.
Oh, it must have been exciting, Dodie. That's Dodie. It isn't Dodo. What are your plans for this summer, Dodie?
The Greyhound bus.
You travel around the country in a Greyhound bus. Where are you going to get the gas?
We have an angel.
Oh, a man with plenty of money?
No, he has an X card.
Well, it looks like a great summer for your Ibsen repertoire.
Yes, I must write Ibsen. It will make him very happy.
You shall live until you hear from Ibsen. And now a theater manager. He's Sir Cedric Gottlieb. You have been in the theater a long time, Sir Cedric.
For 20 years, Sir Cedric Gottlieb is managing for this event. Always his own plays, but mostly sequels.
You produce your own plays? Well, how do you mean, sequels?
Well, so soon a play is opening up, Tom by Gottlieb is opening a sequel.
Oh, a sequel. Well, I don't quite understand, Sir Cedric.
I'll give you a for instance.
I wish you would.
On Broadway is opening Lady in the Dark.
Yes.
By Gottlieb is opening Who's Got a Light for the Lady? Uptown is opening By Jupiter.
By Jupiter.
Downtown is playing Gottlieb Can Get It for Your Halter.
Well, look, you produce nothing but sequels.
Incessantly. My sister Eileen is coming up, my brother Arnie. Arsenic and Old Lace, Cellar and Tonic and New Cheese Club.
Well, has your theater downtown been successful, Sir Cedric?
Who knows? In the lobby, I am also killing and dressing chickens.
You mean that you combine business and buffoonery?
Well, between the two, I am breaking even, but there's just balance.
Well, you may find a wishbone someday and get your wish down. Well, tell me, Sir Cedric, what do you do in the summer?
Summer, so I am closing up downtown, and I'm going up the river.
You give shows on the river, do you?
Up and down the Hudson is floating Gottlieb's combination showboat and popular prize delicatessen.
Some of your fans know you from up the river, you see. They recognize you. Well, what do you sell?
Liverwurst with Gilbert and Solomon.
A double feature, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, you have a company of singers with you, do you?
Oh, need singers. I'm singing all the songs for different kind of voices.
Oh, you are a one-man choir.
Same to you. In pinafore, I'm singing, I'm sweet with good coffee, comedy, a little coffee, comedy,
You mean sweet little buttercup, don't you?
I'm Gottlieb Showboat, buddy, you're not getting even in the list.
Fine. Well, what about your plans for this summer, Sir Cedric?
Well, for the first time in 20 years, this year, Gottlieb Showboat is not sailing.
Why not?
The Navy is not making up its mind.
The Navy?
I am writing, do I need or don't I need? The Navy is not answering.
Do you need or don't you need what?
Convoys.
Oh. And thank you, Sir Cedric Gottlieb. Well, I guess that
just a second, pale and lanky. Falstaff here with hanky panky.
Bring him in. You were not here with more rhymed drivel, Falstaff.
Have you heard, oh, to be a bobolink, I'd sit and wink and blink and think?
No.
No, no.
Or, I love to dandle Mandel. He isn't hard to handle.
No.
Don't go down in that manhole, Mother. Make Father come up for his lunch.
Now, wait. You have finally gone too far, Falstaff. Tonight we have been discussing the theater.
Precisely not why I am here. This is Falstaff's farewell.
You have written the poem?
I have prepared my swan song.
Good. And what is your epic call?
How shall Falstaff say adieu?
Well, carry on.
How shall Falstaff say adieu? I'm frankly puzzled, entre nous. I know I could just say so long, but somehow so long sounds so wrong. When a hyena parts from his hyena friends, he laughs farewell in glee. When a lion leaves his jungle mate, he roars goodbye to his she. The cobra hisses his parting words. The deer merely kisses its paws. The skunk departing says nothing at all. Everyone knows when it's gone. The little bee bumbles his bee adieu. The seal flaps goodbye in the sound. But I don't know how to leave you nice folks, so I'll just say, I'll see you around.
Well, thank you, Bob. Thank you. Thank you. And as Falstaff dries his eyes with his bindle, Kenny Baker comes from out of the nowhere into the ear. Accompanied by Al Goodman and his orchestra, Kenny sings for us Tangerine. Kenny?
Thank you, Kenny. As usual, that was very nice.
Say, Jimmy, I'm glad you stopped by. Mother, Portland's mother wanted me to ask you something. Just occurred to me.
Why, yes, friend?
She has invented a gasoline saver and wants to get your opinion.
A gasoline saver?
Yes. When Portland's mother wants to save gasoline, she shuts off the engine, takes the floorboards out of the car, and pedals along with her feet. It's very simple.
Yes, very simple. So is she.
Jimmy, you are talking about my mother-in-law.
Well, regardless, Fred, she'll have to realize that saving gasoline takes serious, intelligent thought. That's why it's so wise these days to make a Texaco dealer your personal car warden. Because that way you get the benefit of his training and experience to get the utmost in mileage from your gasoline. And believe me, your Texaco dealer can give you a lot of practical gasoline-saving tips. For instance, keeping the carburetor in proper adjustment, the spark plugs clean, and the car well lubricated. Driving tips, too. Your Texaco dealer knows the proven ways to stop gasoline waste. Yes, and he can tell you why it pays these days when every mile counts to use a high-quality gasoline, Texaco Fire Chief or Premium Texaco Sky Chief. So to get the most in mileage from every gallon, make a Texaco dealer your car warden.
Maestro Goodman has been rudely interrupted while about to complete his version of Liro Liro. And now, ladies and gentlemen, say Portland.
Oh, Mr. Owl!
Say, what is this? For 38 weeks this season, every time I have said, and now, ladies and gentlemen, you have interrupted me. Now, tonight, on our last program, you missed your cue. Whatever is askew.
Well, I was thinking about what Jimmy Wallington said.
You mean about not having any jokes to tell?
Yes. I was thinking if I was Jimmy, I wouldn't have anything to say.
So?
So I didn't say it.
Well, that's fine.
I didn't do it.
Now, never mind that. Never mind. We don't want any skeletons in our closet. Don't tell me Mr. Wallington has been agitating that you want to tell jokes, too.
I have some jokes if you'll let me tell them.
Well, this is our last program. They'll have 13 weeks to blow over, I guess. What jokes have you?
One is, you say to me, I hear your uncle is a policeman in Georgia.
All right. I hear your uncle is a policeman in Georgia.
Yes, he's a Dixie cop.
A Dixie cop. That is your joke?
Yes.
You want to give up?
Not yet. They laughed at Edison when he started, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And there are times on this program when I wish that I was Edison. What is your next joke?
My brother always takes horses at Belmont.
Why?
He has a one-track mind.
One-track mind. You want to give up? You want to give up now?
Oh, I'm going to keep trying. They laughed at Fulton, don't forget.
Well, there are times in this program when I wish I was Fulton, too. Fish market and all. Have you another joke?
Yes. Papa turned in Mama's girdle during the rubber drive, and Mama is down in the dumps.
Your mother is down in the... Your mother is down in the dumps, why?
Papa forgot to take her out of the girdle.
Now will you give up?
They laughed at Jack Benny.
That is a lie. Discussion of facts. They may have laughed at Rochester, Schenectady, Buffalo, Troy, and Albany, but they never laughed. Oh, hello, Kenny.
Hi, Effie. Hi, Porty.
Hello, Kenny.
Hey, Effie, I've got a laugh for you.
What, Kenny?
Guess who's going to try to get $10 from you after the show?
Who?
Me.
Money. That's all you seem to think about. I don't get it.
Frankly, neither do I. I'm in there fishing.
All year, Kenny, you've talked about nothing but money. Can't you banish pelf from your realm of thought?
I try to, F.A., but they keep reminding me.
Well, who keeps reminding you?
My landlady, my barber.
You owe your barber money?
for 3 haircuts and the landscaping of 1 nostril.
He had a 1 nostril landscape. Who is your barber?
He's Mr. Gilsey. He used to be a tree surgeon.
Mm-hmm. Well, he still cuts your hair as though your head was a stump, if it's any...
I know. The back of my head looks like a head.
And you want to pay this barber? Well, that proves you don't know what to do with money. Now, don't forget, Kenny, when you came on this program, you were barefooted and you had long underwear.
Now I've got shoes and no underwear.
Well, stop worrying. By March 15th, you'll be the best-dressed man in town.
Mr. Allen, there's a lady looking over the transom.
Well, pull her down, Portland. She's our guest tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, meet that happy-go-lucky star of picture, stage, and radio, Hollywood Sis Hopkins, Miss Judy Canova. Well, Judy, judging from that applause, I know that everyone is glad to see you. Doesn't that make you happy?
Fred, I ain't been so tickled since the day the feather blew up the leg of my slack.
Well, the last time I saw you, Judy, we played on the same bill together at Centralia, Illinois.
That's right. I was doing an act with my sister Annie and my brother Zeke.
Judy, Ann, and Zeke. We were sure playing the small time in those days. How did you used to find those little towns, Judy?
Zeke had a compass.
Well, a compass is better than an agent in that territory that we were playing. I played a town in Michigan one time. You know, it was so small you could stand on the post office steps and drool out of town.
Well, you know, Annie and Zeke and me played a theater so far back in the woods that only one of us could play the guitar on the stage.
Well, why, Judy?
The other two was busy beating off woodpeckers. They was eating the guitar.
In what key? In any particular key? Well, gosh, in those days, you were just a little... you were just a little she-yokel. Now, today, look at you. You're a big picture star.
It's ridiculous, ain't it?
Tell me, how did you ever get out to Hollywood, Judy?
Well, Fred, it began down home. I started wearing shoes, and folks started calling me a glamour girl.
Down home, huh?
Yep, and the next spring, I won a beauty contest.
Really?
I was Miss Burma Shave for 20 miles along Highway 66.
Good for you.
Yes, sir. A Hollywood talent scout heard about me, and he sent for me right away to go into a picture.
What picture?
They call it The Grapes of Wrath.
A character part. Well, did you have to make a test or anything?
Well, the first day at the studio, I was just wearing my little old calico dress.
Yes.
One producer looked at me and he says, "In a tight dress, nobody'll notice that face."
And when you put on a tight dress?
He looked at me and he says, "In a loose dress, nobody'll notice that figure."
Well, how did you end up, Judy?
I just kept wearing my little old calico dress.
And today?
Nobody notices nothing.
Well, tell me, with all of this wool shortage threat, what are the sweater girls out in Hollywood going to do?
Oh, they're all set. The studios is raising their own sheep.
Well, I'm surprised that they haven't made you a sweater girl, Judy.
You know, Fred, I asked my producer about that.
And what did he say?
He says, "Judy, let's face it. That wool looks better on them sheep than it'll look on you."
I
Yes, sir.
I see.
There's a disheartening thing about a sweater, though, Fred.
Yes, Judy.
And you only get out of it what you put into it.
Well, I suppose you're living high out there in Hollywood.
Gosh, Fred, I never dreamt I'd be living in a shanty like I'm living in now.
No?
No, sir. No more burlap windows. We got real glass.
Real?
Yes, sir. You can see through parts of it.
See through parts?
And out back of the shanty, there's a big puddle for swimming.
Out in back of the house, a big swimming puddle, huh?
Uh-huh. And we got one of them Hollywood doorbells that chimes.
Yeah, you push the doorbell and chimes peel out?
Yep. Till we got used to it, every time the front doorbell chimed, me and Zeke would run out the back door looking for the good humor man.
Well, didn't I read somewhere that a lot of stars out in Hollywood have started Victory Gardens?
Fred, you should ought to see what's going on. They're raising Veronica Lake potatoes. They only got one eye.
Oh,
The Guy Kibbe apples, they're borrowing.
The Guy Kibbe apples are borrowing. Well, I heard that I just wanted to make sure that I got it myself, you know. I can go along with the gag, sister. I'm right up with it. I'm a little behind, but I overtake it. You know,
Can I go with you?
Yeah, sure. I would make a tandem. I heard about Victory Gardens. I heard that Orson Welles stood out in the middle of his garden, Judy. Orson looked down at the seeds in the ground and said, "Grow." And 14 acres of corn sprang up.
They say that Orson's radishes are wired for sound.
Well, enough about Hollywood, Judy. Now, let's get down to business. I have a proposition for you.
Well, now, if that ain't the funniest thing, Fred, you know I got a proposition for you, too.
You, Judy?
Yep. I want you to be the leading man in my next picture.
Oh, that's silly, Judy. What have I got for pictures?
Well, it ain't what you've got. It's what you ain't got.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, you see, in all the pictures they've been putting me in, the juvenile is always good-looking. And if he ain't good-looking, alongside of me, he looks good-looking.
I see. Well, haven't you tried to beautify yourself?
Well, I went to a plastic surgeon, and he wanted to move my mouth around in my cheek to make a dimple.
You mean move your mouth around into your cheek just to make a dimple out of it, and it wouldn't work?
Now, how would it look? I come on the screen to meet my lover. I got no mouth. My dimple opens up and says, "Chester, I love you." If he wants to kiss me, how can I pucker my dimple?
Oh, you can. Well, I think you've got something there with Chester, Judy.
Yep. If I'm going to look good, I got to have somebody opposite me who's unpretty.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I have been called baggy eyes and long course, Judy, but unpretty is a harsh word.
You're unpretty, Fred Allen, and you know it.
You really think so, Judy?
You know something, Fred?
What, Judy?
Standing here next to you tonight, this is the first time in my life I ever really felt good-looking.
Well, Look, Judy, if you're looking for a leading man, you ought to go back to Hollywood.
Yeah, but there ain't no leading men left in Hollywood. They've all been drafted.
Well, I may be drafted, too.
Oh, come now, Mr. Allen. This ain't the Civil War.
Now, look, Judy, forget Antietam and your proposition. I have a proposition for you.
You don't want to work with me, eh?
Well, I want to work with you, Judy, but how about us going into vaudeville? You and I, we can do a great act together.
Oh, golly, I don't know. I was in vaudeville with Annie and Zeke, but I done forgot how to sleep in a trunk.
Well, working with me, it'll come back to you, Judy. We'll get an act together.
An act? But what can we do?
What can we do? Why, we'll murder them. Judy and Fred, a breeze from the barnyard. Or who left the silo door open? A few fast jokes and a wahoo musical finish.
Well, what will we use for wahoo, Fred?
Well, I'll spank my banjo, Judy.
All right, and I'll bellow a song.
Name your whale.
How about I Ain't Got Nobody?
I Ain't Got Nobody. Sounds great, Judy.
All right, now you charge me on the banjo because I can't sing just wrong. Come on, give me a sword.
Wait a minute. How am I going to charge you? Wait a minute. I can't sit down. How do you like that?
You must be a good musician. You can't even play standing up.
I can play, but I can't stand for my own music. I can't play the banjo unless I'm a little flat to start, you see. All right, Mr. Goodman, see who plays.
Oh, dear. party.
Judy, I put it down again.
Look out, Fred, this is gonna be a long one. Me, hold it, Fred.
You can get me by mail, Judy.
Now!
Thank you very much, Judy. Come on. Say, thank you, Judy. Say, Kenny. You say, Kenny, do you think it looks nice to slouch around while Judy was singing there with your hands in your pants pockets?
I've got to keep my hands in my pockets. It's the law.
What law?
The law of gravity. If I take my hands out, goodbye pants.
haven't you heard about suspenders?
Haven't you heard about the scrap rubber drive?
You turned in your suspenders?
What else?
Well, look now. Kenny, our government is asking for scrap rubber, but rubber that's in service needs only to be conserved. Am I right on that, Larry Elliott?
Right as rain, Fred. And since most of the rubber that's in service in this country is in the tires of our cars, the job of conserving rubber is the patriotic duty of every motorist. That means we must cut out on tire waste in every way. Now, two of the biggest causes of tire waste are speed and underinflation. So keep your speed down and your tire pressure up. Drive slowly, never over 40, and drive in regularly to your Texaco dealer to have your tires checked. You'll find, too, that a Texaco dealer's regular care will conserve not only your tires, but your whole car. His training, skill, and Texaco quality products mean superior maintenance and lubrication. Longer, better service for your essential wartime driving. So make it a habit to see your Texaco dealer regularly. Let him help you care for your car, for your country.
Thank you, Larry. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Baker for his farewell song of the season. Kenny sings, "It's Always in My Heart." Kenny?
Away. I can hear the music of the song of love I sang with you. You are always in my heart, and when skies above are gray, I remember that you care, and there the sun breaks through. Before I go to sleep, there's a rendezvous I keep, and the dream I always meet helps me forget we're far apart. I don't know exactly when, dear, but I'm sure we'll meet again, dear. And my darling, till we do, you are always in my heart. There's no mountain top so high that somehow love can't climb. No, no. Quite so wide that love can't cross in time. Please believe me when I say, just before I go to sleep, There's a rendezvous I keep, and the dream I always meet helps me forget we're far apart. I don't know exactly when, dear, but I'm sure we'll meet again, dear. And my darling, till we do, you are always in my heart.
After a brief pause for station identification, Fred Allen returns to present Judy Canova with the Texas Workshop Players and the most talented undergraduate of Cornell University. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WABC, New York. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the Texaco Star Theater brings you the most talented undergraduate of a leading institution of higher learning. Tonight, we salute Cornell University in Ithaca, New York, by presenting its most talented student. The winner of the Cornell competitions is here tonight as Fred Allen's guest, and receives a cash award of $200. Are you ready to introduce our guest, Fred?
Yes, Larry. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Cornell University's most talented undergraduate, Miss Dorothy Carthrett. Well, congratulations, Dorothy, and welcome to Texaco's farewell prom.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Dorothy, you are the winner of our final college competition. You know, starting with James McDonough of Notre Dame last October, we have had boys and girls from leading colleges in the East, Middle West, and South on our program each week. Confidentially, Dorothy, how do you feel about our Texaco, how do you feel our Texaco College series has worked out?
Oh, I think it's been very successful, Mr. Allen. I know that all of the winners, including myself, appreciate this opportunity to appear on your program.
Well, meeting the college boys and girls has helped me a lot, too, Dorothy. My English has improved, and my trophy room is stuffed with gifts, and the various student bodies have been kind enough to send me. But you didn't come all the way from Cornell to hear me brag. Tell me, Dorothy, how old are you?
I'm 20 years old today.
This is your birthday?
Yes, it's right.
Many happy returns, Dorothy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I wish you'd told me I'd have whipped up a cake or a candle or something. Say, we've got to celebrate some way. It's too late to get a Western Union quartet on short notice and on key. Say, Mr. Goodman, could we have your orchestra sing a birthday greeting for Dorothy Cawthorn here? How about it, fellas?
Oh.
All right, let's go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday,
Dorothy
Cawthorn. Happy birthday to you.
How was that, then? How was that, Dorothy?
Oh, it was wonderful, Mr. Allen. Thank you all very much.
Well, Fred Waring thinks he has a glee club. Well, Mr. Goodman's boys sing without music, Dorothy. Without voices, they sing. We digress, Dorothy. What year are you in at Cornell?
Next fall, I'll be a senior.
A senior, and what are you studying?
I'm majoring in home economics.
Home economics. That teaches you where to put your ration cards in the kitchen so that you can find them. How to bake cakes with substitutes, huh?
Oh, it takes in a lot more than that.
Well, what does the home economics course teach?
Home nursing, mass feeding, the care of children, and many other things that will enable the girls to help with the war work.
Say, the girls at Cornell are going to be a great help. I guess most of the boys are taking military training, too.
Yes. Cornell is one of the most important college training centers in the East for naval officers.
You have a reserve officers training corps at Cornell, too, don't you?
Yes. It's the largest in this corps area. Since 1919, Cornell has trained 23,000 second lieutenants for the Army Reserve.
Well, Cornell is such a popular university, I imagine it has many famous alumni.
Yes. Mr. Henry Morgenthau, Jr., the Secretary of the Treasury, is a Cornell graduate.
Well, I didn't know that. I thought Mr. Morgenthau was born in the Mint. I thought he was born in the mint and raised by a budget, which he later raised to return the favor. I So what other famous men come from Cornell, Dorothy?
Who's she?
She who?
Who she is, the Chinese ambassador to the United States.
Oh, who's she? For a minute there, we sounded like Abbott and Costello. Well, is Cornell responsible for any of our theatrical celebrities?
Yes, Mr. Allen. Frank Morgan, Adolph Monju, and Fanchel Tone.
Oh, really? I didn't know that Adolph Monju was a Cornell man. I thought that he graduated from Hart, Schaffner, and Marx. I thought he graduated magna cum laude in the back. Yeah. Well, tell me, Dorothy, do you have any extracurricular activities at school?
Yes, I'm soloist with the Cornell Women's Glee Club, and I sing in a choir.
Do you intend to make singing your career?
I hope to later on.
Well, if you want to warm up for the future, Dorothy, you can sing your song right now.
Oh, before I sing, Mr. Allen, I have two gifts for you.
Well, Dorothy, this is your birthday. My gift is arriving, I see. I didn't give you a present, and now you have two gifts for me. Gosh, I feel as cheap as sugar used to be, Dorothy. Well, what have we here?
Well, our Cornell crew coach, Stark Sanford, sent you this crew cap and oar.
Oh, this cap. This is the oar, huh, that goes with the cap. I think if he had the cap nearer the size of the oar, we'd have a better... Well, now, I haven't done any rowing for years, Dorothy. If a crew coach yelled stroke at me today, I probably have one. But this is certainly a nice souvenir, and I want to thank Coach Sanford at school there and the boys and girls at Cornell, and you too, Dorothy, for your kindness tonight. And now, what about your song?
I'm going to sing My Hero from the Chocolate Soldier.
Well, that's swell. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Dorothy Cawthorn, Cornell University's most talented undergraduate, sings for us My Hero.
I have a true and noble lover. He's my sweetheart, all my world. He's my banner, who shall
faculty at Cornell and Cornell alumni will be as pleased with your performance as we are tonight. All of us here in the Texaco Star Theater wish you every success in your musical career. And now, ladies and gentlemen, comes Jimmy Wallington with the last call.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the last call for your scrap rubber.
The National Scrap Rubber Drive ends at midnight, Tuesday, June 30th. And by that time, every piece of discarded rubber in America must be collected. Tons upon tons of old tires, inner tubes, rubber-soled shoes, rubber toys, and cast-off rubber of every description have already been turned into gasoline dealers. But there is still waste rubber in many American homes. All of it must be reclaimed and put back into service in vital military and civilian use. So if you haven't yet turned in every scrap of rubber you can spare, get busy tonight. When you've collected all you can find, take it to any Texaco dealer or any other gasoline dealer. You may contribute to rubber, or if you wish, you will be paid a penny a pound for it. All rubber goes to our government. All profit from its sale will be turned over to Army and Navy Relief, the USO, and the Red Cross. So help put the scrap rubber drive over in the real American way. Remember, you have only two more days, so collect all your scrap rubber and turn it in to any Texaco dealer or any other gasoline dealer by next Tuesday. Help erase the Axis with your scrap rubber.
At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we usually have the Texaco Workshop Player starring Leo Wimbro. But tonight, the Workshop Players will not appear. I've been busy getting ready to go on my vacation confidentially. Now, I have a few more things here
to pack. Wait a minute. Say, what is this, Fred? No sketch tonight?
Well, I didn't have time to write a sketch this week, Jimmy. I still haven't finished packing. You see, I'm going to have all this stuff strewn out here.
I know, but where are you going this summer, Fred?
Well, I'm going down to the seashore, Jimmy. There's a little spot, Brophy's Beach, down along the Atlantic Coast.
Brophy's Beach?
Yes, I've never been there myself. Come in.
Mr. Allen?
Yes?
Come right in, Mr. Shimmer.
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Wait a minute. What is this?
This is Mr. Shimmick.
Never mind Shimmick with the fuzz on him there. Who are you?
I am Mr. Otis, one of the many vice presidents of this gigantic broadcasting company.
Well, after all,
this is your last program of the season.
Yes?
On behalf of this gigantic network, Mr. Shimmick and I want to wish you a happy vacation.
Well, thank you very much.
Where are you going, Mr. Allen?
Well, I'm going down on the Atlantic coast, along the Atlantic coast. There, it's a little place called Brophy's Beach.
Brophy's Beach?
Mm-hmm.
Why, we just got back from there. You'll have a wonderful rest.
Oh, yes. You'll be in bed at 6 o'clock every night.
6 o'clock?
Yes, as soon as the sun goes down, there's a blackout.
Yes, you can't see anything, so you go to bed.
Well, 6 o'clock, that makes rather a short day, doesn't it?
Oh, no, you're up at 3 every morning.
At 3?
Oh, yes. The Coast Guard starts shooting off cannons.
Okay. Well, of course, I won't mind the noise. I'll be in swimming most of the day. The water's good, isn't it?
If you don't mind the sharks, yes.
Sharks?
I went in swimming just once.
What happened?
My toes are a memory.
Look at my right hand.
What? One finger?
Yes. Fortunately, I'm at radio. With one finger, I can carry on.
Oh, good.
Oh, you'll enjoy your vacation, Brophy Beach, Mr. Allen.
Well, if I can't swim or sit around there, I'll just loll around the hotel.
The Neptune Plaza?
Well, why not?
With those seagulls flying in and out of the window? You have to wear your hat in the lobby. Oh, you'll relax at Brophy's Beach, Mr. Allen.
Oh, yes. A happy vacation, Mr. Allen. Let's go, Mr. Otis.
Take my finger, Mr. Shimmick.
Yes.
Hey, Fred, that Brophy's Beach doesn't sound so good.
No, I'm off of that place, Jimmy.
Hey, why don't you go up where I go? Lubin's Lodge up in the Catskills. That mountain air, a wonderful view, fishing, hunting, hiking.
Ah, Lubin's Lodge. That's for me with that fishing and hunting. Will I need a reservation, Jimmy?
I'll go out and call Lubin up.
Good, Jimmy. I'll pack the rest of this stuff here. Lubin's Lodge, those Catskills. I'll get
Mr.
some...
Mr. Allen!
Yes, Portland.
I came to say goodbye.
Well, goodbye, Portland. I'll send you a card from Lubin's Lodge.
Lubin's Lodge in the Catskills?
You know the place?
Why, yes. Mama went there 2 summers ago.
Did she like it?
Well, Mama liked the sanitarium better.
What sanitarium?
Well, they took her after 2 nights at Lubin's Lodge.
They took your mother to
Mama went mad from not getting anything to eat.
But they don't serve meals at Lubin's Lodge?
You get your own food.
Oh, they have a cafeteria.
No, you have to hunt everything. If you can catch it, you can eat it.
Oh, it's a hunteteria. The cuisine is primitive, in other words.
Yes. For breakfast, the chef gives you a club and points out some rabbit tracks.
That's the club breakfast, I've heard. What's for lunch?
Mr. Reuben baits a hook and shows you where the trout stream is.
Lunch. Lunch is a worm and the right of way, huh? Well, what is dinner? The big meal?
Yes. Mr. Reuben rents you a bear trap and wishes you luck.
Well, I guess your mother didn't get much to eat, did she?
Oh, Mama couldn't sleep either. Well,
why not?
Well, every night a deer came in her room and slept in the corner.
A deer?
Mm-hmm.
What did she have? One of those buck rooms?
The deer used to have nightmares.
No kidding.
The deer used to bang his head around.
Say, those antlers banging against the wall must have been pretty noisy.
Oh, Mama said it sounded like people playing shuffleboard with hall trees.
Shuffleboard with hall trees. Well, Lubin's Lodge is out.
Why don't you spend your vacation on the desert?
Oh, the desert. Say, that's not a bad idea, Portland. I could go out to California, around Palm Springs there.
Mama went to a place last summer. It was wonderful.
A hotel?
A Rourke's Oasis. It's right in the desert.
O'Rourke's Oasis. Well, thanks a lot, Portland.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Have a good vacation. O'Rourke's Oasis. That's
hey,
for me.
Hey.
Yes, Kenny, you've come to say goodbye?
Yes. Have a good vacation, old man.
Thanks. Thanks, you're looking a little ahead. Well, thanks, Kenny. I'll get a good rest on that desert, boy.
The desert?
Yes, I'm going out to O'Rourke's Oasis.
Outside of Palm Springs?
You know the place?
O'Rourke's Oasis. I was there last summer. I nearly fractured my skull.
Well, how?
I dove into the swimming pool.
And there wasn't any water?
There wasn't any swimming pool. It was a mirage.
Fine.
All the guests had fractured skulls. You enjoy it there.
Well, I hope so.
Well, take plenty of water along with you, Fred. That desert is pretty dry.
Well, you mean you can't get a drink of water in the place?
If you want water, O'Rourke gives you a Dixie cup and a divining rod.
Well, gosh, I don't know how.
You like termites?
O'Rourke has termites, too.
I came out of the dining room one day. A termite ran up my sleeve and ate my toothpick before I even got it in my mouth.
No kidding.
The termites chased a man named Wood out of the desert.
With his baggage? Well, what a joint. Mirages, termites, no water. O'Rourke's Oasis is out.
You want to go up to a dude ranch? Go to a place like Cohen's Corral.
Cohen's Corral? Where is it, Kenny?
Don't mention it, old man. Have a good vacation.
Is it where? I mean, over in Nutley, over by Nutley? Well, that's the spot for me. Cohen's Corral. Thanks, Kenny. I'll get it through a rumor that may turn up later. You bet. Oh, boy, a nice quiet rest at Cohen's Corral. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam.
Excuse me, Fred.
Judy Canova. Are you leaving, Judy?
Yeah, Fred. I just wanted to say goodbye, and I hope you have a nice vacation.
Well, thanks a lot, Judy. I'll certainly get plenty of exercise, horseback riding.
Oh, you going out west?
No, I'm going to a dude ranch over in Jersey, I think. Cohen's Corral.
Near Nutley?
That's the place.
You poor kid.
You have been to Cohen's Corral?
No, my brother Zeke just got back from there.
Really?
Yeah, I was up to the hospital to see him this morning.
Zeke was hurt at Cohen's Corral?
Nope, he's down with nervous exhaustion and a touch of pellagra.
Well, what happened?
Zeke says all the guests have to take a horseback ride before breakfast. They make you do it.
Well, that's not bad, is it?
Well,
it
wouldn't be, but all the horses is wild.
Oh, the wild horses, huh?
Yep. Zeke says the horses run away with the guests before breakfast, and they don't bring them home again till 10 o'clock at night.
No kidding.
Yes, sir. The guests miss all three meals.
Well, the sleeping's good at night over there, isn't it?
Zeke says it's freezing cold. There's an Indian sits in the corner of every room.
An Indian for what?
Well, if it gets too cold at night, you get up and take the blanket off the Indian.
Well, what happens if it gets still colder?
That depends on the Indian.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, if the Indian's bigger than you are, he takes the blanket back.
Oh, he does. Well, that's what draws Zeke down, eh?
Yep. His horse run away every morning, so Zeke never got nothing to eat.
I see.
And Zeke's Indian was bigger than Zeke, so Zeke froze to death every night.
Well, couldn't Zeke climb out of the window and get away during the night?
You can't escape from Corin's corral.
Why not?
There's a rattlesnake coiled up in every room. It looks like a rope fire escape.
A rattlesnake?
Yep. If you try to sneak out at night, the snake grabs you by the leg and rattles for Corin.
Rattles for Corin. Well, that does it for me, Judy. Corin's corral is out. I've got to go someplace on my vacation.
Oh, you'll think of a place. Have a good vacation, Fred. Good night.
Good night, Judy. Well, there's only one thing to do, I guess.
Fred, tell me, have you settled your vacation plan?
Yes, Jimmy, I'm all set. I've been talked out of the seashore, the country, the desert, and Corin's corral. There's only one place left to go.
Well, if I want to reach you during the summer, Fred, where can I get in touch with you?
I tell you what you do, Jimmy. You go to the corner of 59th Street and 7th Avenue.
But that's Central Park.
I'll be sprawled out on the fourth bench on the left, Jimmy.
Fred Allen broadcast of the season, ladies and gentlemen. The Texaco dealers will be on the air all summer with Al Goodman and his orchestra, Jane Foreman, the Texaco star singers, and yours truly, Jimmy Wallington. The Texaco Star Theater Summer Show begins next Sunday night, a half hour later than our present program. See your newspaper for the time. And now, a word from Fred Allen.
Thank you, Jimmy. I would like to thank the Texaco dealers who have made this series possible, ladies and gentlemen, and also Kenny Baker, Portland, Al Goodman, Jimmy Wallington, Larry Elliott, Howard Riley, Jim Hawkins, my co-authors, Nat Hyken, Roland Kibbe, and Al Lewis, who have all helped so greatly in the presentation of our weekly programs throughout the season. But most of all, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank you for your continued support and loyalty to our Texaco dealers. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight to the Texaco dealers from coast to coast, reminding you to tune in the new Texaco Star Theater Summer Show next Sunday evening. And now I'll say goodnight and goodbye until next fall. Good night.
This is a reminder to motorists that the new federal tax stamps must be bought and affixed to all cars by July 1st. The new stamp costs $5 and may be obtained at any post office. It is good for 1 year. 10 p.m. BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time. WABC New York, 880 on your dial.